Chapter 25, My First Big Win. It can take new senators months or even years to pass their first piece of legislation. It took me 2 weeks, although to be fair, I'd had a long time to work on it before I got there. I first met retired Army Captain Luis Montalvan at an event for the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America at the Obama inaugural. I also met Tuesday, his beautiful golden retriever. Luis told me he wouldn't have been able to come to the event if it weren't for Tuesday. Luis had served as an intelligence officer in Iraq and was seriously wounded in El Anbar province. He returned with 2 bronze stars, a Purple Heart, and severe PTSD, which manifested itself in panic attacks, nightmares, and acute agoraphobia, the fear of leaving his home, all of which he self-medicated with alcohol. Then a nonprofit organization contacted Luis and offered to partner him with a service dog. Desperate for any possible solution to his mounting problems, he went to a training facility in upstate New York, where he met Tuesday. I asked Luis how Tuesday had changed his life. "Well, Tuesday can anticipate my panic attacks by observing changes in my breathing or smelling my perspiration, so he'll nuzzle me and prevent me from having a panic attack." Wow. "If I'm having a nightmare and start thrashing around, Tuesday will jump on the bed and wake me up. And he broke my isolation. You know, you have to take a dog out a couple times a day, and I learned something. People don't like going up to a scruffy-looking wounded vet. But they do like coming up to a scruffy-looking wounded vet who has a beautiful dog." Luis told me that thanks in large part to Tuesday's help, he had turned his life around, enrolling in journalism school. After graduating, he went on to write a number of best-selling books about his experiences, including a couple of children's books about him and Tuesday, and became an advocate for other veterans. My grandson, Joe, just loves his book, Tuesday Takes Me There. In the period between the inauguration and my swearing-in, I learned as much as I could about service dogs. I spoke with a couple who now could go to the mall with their autistic son, who loved taking care of his service dog even as his service dog was taking care of him. I met a veteran who told me his dog kept track of when he was supposed to take his medication and would tug him by the sleeve to remind him if he hadn't taken it as scheduled. I visited a training facility in Minnesota where I saw a German Shepherd pick up a nickel with her teeth. Wow. As soon as I got to the Senate, I had my staff draw up a bill that would fund a 3-year Department of Veterans Affairs study pairing 200 dogs with veterans suffering from invisible wounds and measure the benefits to each veteran against the cost of training each dog, which were not insubstantial even when offset by all the stray nickels they could pick up. If it worked, we'd have evidence to argue for expanding the program more widely. A few days later, Drew and a couple of other staffers walked in my office with a sheaf of paper. There it was, my first piece of legislation. It was kind of a moment. Everybody was beaming. I sat down with the pages and began to scan them, making a few notes in the margins where I thought the amendment could read a little snappier. "Al," someone said, "what are you doing?" "Oh, just punching it up a bit." Blank stares from the team. "You know, making it sing a little bit. You know, so it'll be more fun to read." There was an awkward silence until Drew said, "No, Al, you don't do that." "Oh, yeah. Well, that'll save me a lot of work," I said, putting down my pen. In fact, as it turns out, not only do senators not do punch-up, they don't write legislation at all, and neither do their staffs. You may have seen a film strip in 6th grade on how a bill becomes a law, but the way a bill becomes a bill is via the Office of the Legislative Council. The Senate staff from both parties bring in their boss's ideas, and then a team of nonpartisan lawyers carefully translates them into unintelligible legalese in order to make sure that bills actually do what their authors want them to do. Can you even begin to imagine how depraved their holiday party must get? Anyway, I needed a Republican co-sponsor, so I called Johnny Isaacson from Georgia, who serves on the Veterans Affairs Committee. Johnny immediately said he loved the idea, and later he told me why. Johnny's mother had always hated dogs. When he was growing up, the family dogs were never allowed in the house. But Johnny and his wife, Diane, had a mutt named Sox, mostly black lab, but with four white paws, hence the name. Sox was an inside dog who loved to jump on the couch, and when Johnny's mom would come over to visit, that would always make her furious. But after Johnny's mom developed Alzheimer's, her mental state deteriorated to the point where she was in a near-constant state of agitation. And when she would stay with Johnny and Diane, there was just one thing that could calm her down: sitting on their couch, snuggling with Sox. So Johnny signed on, and the bill sailed through as an amendment to a defense authorization bill. A week after we broke for August recess, senators gathered in Boston to honor an actual giant of the Senate, Ted Kennedy, who had died after a long fight with brain cancer. Johnny approached me at the memorial. "Al," he said, "I've been getting a lot of great reaction back home for that dog bill of yours, even from non-veterans. If you ever have another bill you want co-sponsored, just let me know." "Oh, I've got one, Johnny. It's a bill for gay marriage and abortion on demand." Johnny nodded politely and said, "I'll get back to you." And you know what? He hasn't. I know that's kind of a fun ending to the story, but that's not the actual ending to the story. Even after Johnny and I got the amendment into the defense authorization bill, and even after the defense authorization bill passed the Senate, I had to find a member of the House to make sure the provision stayed in the final version of the bill. And even then, an authorization bill doesn't actually fund anything. It just authorizes stuff, hence the name. The actual funding has to come from an appropriations bill. So we had to then make sure that the defense appropriations bill had money for the study that had been authorized by the authorization bill. That's a much less fun ending to the story, and even that's not the actual ending. You see, it's been more than 7 years since my amendment passed, and that 3-year study still isn't finished yet. Now, how is that possible? Well, first, the study has to be designed, and since it involved both human beings and animals, it took a lot of extra time to clear both sets of compliance hurdles. And then once the study finally began in Tampa, it almost immediately hit some speed bumps. First of all, they can't do anything right in Tampa. I'm sorry, I've never been to Tampa. I'm sure it's great. I'm just cranky about the study. It turned out that one of the service dog providers picked for the study shouldn't have been accredited. After a couple false starts, the Tampa study eventually wound up being scrapped. I continue to meet periodically with a 3-person team from the VA in charge of the study. As frustrated as I was when things went wrong, they were more so. After they learned about the flawed accreditation system for service dogs, they redesigned the study, and as I write this, they've matched nearly 200 veterans with service dogs in 3 cities across the country, except this time, the dogs are being trained by VA trainers. Meanwhile, Purdue University has conducted a similar study, and their preliminary results are promising. Veterans who have been matched with service dogs have experienced less depression, less anxiety, a greater sense of satisfaction, and a reduced feeling of isolation. We're losing 20 veterans a day to suicide. I think my service dog idea could help. I hope I'm right. And I hope the VA's 3-year study will bear that out. When it's finally finished in 2018, 9 years after I got it approved. The story of my first bill is, in some ways, a story about politics at its best. I met a heroic American who gave me a good idea. I reached out to experts to craft legislation. I found bipartisan support, and we got it done. Nobody filibustered my bill or lied about it or sank it with a poison pill or hired sleazy lobbyists to stop it from becoming law. But this is also a story about how, even when everything goes right, politics can be full of setbacks and frustrations. And sometimes it's even full of heartbreak. As I was putting this chapter to bed, I got the unfathomable news that Luis Montalvan had taken his own life in a hotel room in Texas. I guess I should say something here about how, despite this tragedy, I still believe in the potential of the idea he and Tuesday, who wasn't with Luis at the time and is doing fine, that they inspired. Or maybe about how it's a reminder of just how imposing this challenge is, even if we all work together and do our best to address it. And that's all true. But mostly I'm just sad. As we worked together on this issue, Luis became more than just a symbol, more than just an ally in an important cause. He became my friend. And even as I worked to carry on the fight we shared, I'm going to miss him.